Marx follows the ever-changing landscape to discuss the latest pressing issues relevant to brand owners in Europe and beyond. During this series, Marx members and special guests share updates, experiences, and opinions. This is IP Law Today. This is Talking Marx.
Welcome to the Talking Marx podcast. This episode is the second part of our discussion on sustainability. I'm James Nurton, and once again, I'm joined by Gregor Vasondert of Procter & Gamble, Claire Lear of Edwin Coe, and Mark Devaney of Clyde & Co. In the previous episode, we discussed topics such as the types of sustainability, the impact on brands, consumers, and IP practitioners, what Procter & Gamble is doing to reduce emissions and get to net zero, and also some of the initiatives that Marx has taken. So I want to pick this up with you, Gregor. With all the additional challenges that you described in the previous episode, does that mean Trademark Council need more guidance on these issues? Do you now need to have a sustainability specialist?
In marketing, you, as I said before, you easily run the risk of making mistakes, and that has an impact on the brands. And brands and advertising are all about product communication, and better communication means having a competitive edge. But as I just reflected, the situation remains and is and will continue to be somewhat volatile. And this is where we'll all have to work together, so those primarily taking care of advertising and also IP practitioners. To give you one very important link, some think that registering a vague term as a trademark can help to get a claim through. Yeah, not minding that a trademark registration will never make a bad claim a good claim. And this is something I keep on having an eye on, because just putting a TM behind it and say, okay, my trademark is a trademark and it's not a vague claim, doesn't simply help. So more interaction in case there are split responsibilities within companies is highly important.
Mm. And so people should pay particular attention to slogans, to artwork used on advertising and so on.
Yes.
Because there have been concerns, haven't there? And there's this phrase greenwashing that people use about insincere messaging about, particularly on behalf of brands. I mean, do you think that's a concern, and should brand owners kind of be taking action about that?
Well, as I said, brand owners are corporate citizens, and they are important players in society. They have to align with consumers on certain values, and if you don't do, you easily run the risk of consumers turning away from your brand. And in that sense, I can only confirm. Greenwashing is a super, super big issue, and I can give you a few explanations why. To start with, I briefly mentioned this, there is the, for instance, European Green Deal, which keeps us busy in Europe. It's a set of highly transformative rules that will have an impact on many areas of life. And at this point, single member states, they don't want to wait, and they already issue decrees that create issues with the single market, for instance, in the space of mandatory recycling symbols. How deal with that? Another example, again from the EU, if we talk about plastics, some member states accept referring to PIR as recycled content. Others, for instance, Germany, the biggest one, does not. They only consider what has been in the household, what is reclaimed from there, as recycled content. And so for them, it's only PCR that matters. Again, we don't have a clear situation. Or I briefly touched that before. Many marketing folks think that making puffery claims is one thing that gets us out of trouble. But from my perspective, it's just the opposite. My experience tells me there is no such thing as green puffery in the environmental space. So either you have a clear, specific claim or just forget about it, because we keep on seeing more and more decisions exactly tackling this issue. Yeah. And then we mustn't forget, sustainability touches various parts of the company, so an additional layer of complexity is internal communication. The increased focus on sustainability impacts on all functions, so you'll have to ensure that the right folks are in the room and involved in the decision-making, obviously, because that can, of course, create trouble. And then finally, since we're all affected by it, we keep on operating in a difficult environment due to the pandemic. That means that the pie is not necessarily growing, it's rather getting smaller. Yeah, and more competition often means more unfair competition. And some of your folks then ask you then, if they can do it, why can't we? And that's also an issue you'll have to deal with.
Very interesting. Yeah. So it sounds like the focus on sustainability is making your job a bit harder. Is that fair?
I mean, it dominates large parts of my day because if you think about it, when I listed what the company has been doing over the last years in the sustainability space, lots of things are clearly beyond what I am doing. I am basically working on green claims and, if you wish, avoiding greenwashing. Already that piece keeps me busy all day, or at least large parts of the day. And I also work on various aspects of the European Green Deal, just to make sure that I am fully up to speed when change is going to come. And it's going to come in a few years from now. But since things, of course, take a lead time, you'll have to get prepared at an early point in time.
Mm-hmm. So I'd like to bring Mark back in here, because we talked about COP26, which is recently finished at the time we're recording this podcast. I don't know if you've been following that, but do you think that will lead to any changes that affect brands, or are there any other recent developments that will particularly affect brands in this area?
Yeah, I think it will impact brands. I think with all of these things, you know, that there's varying degrees of opinion as to whether COP26 went far enough, whether the commitments that were made were aggressive enough, I guess, or ambitious enough. But I think inevitably, you know, the light has been shone back on. I think, as Gregor mentioned, the pandemic can't be ignored. But I think that the light has been shone back on climate change and the issues that were discussed during the COP26. And I think businesses really can't avoid this any longer. So those that have really been making meaningful strides, like P&G, clearly are in a much more advanced position than many other businesses. I think, you know, some of the commitments, the net zero commitments, clearly are going to impact businesses. They're going to have to start to align their own strategies to the commitments that are being made by governments. You may also see, of course, you know, incentivization of business change by governments to meet their commitments as a result of COP26 or any other kind of commitments that have been made. So, for example, transitioning to zero emission vehicles, you know, that clearly is an issue for supply chain for brand owners. You know, you may see more localization of brands, of course, you know, if you're looking at brands that are moving products or around the globe. You might start to see different kind of manufacturing models and move back to localization. We've seen a bit of that in recent years already. So I think, you know, what we'll probably see is brands start to ensure that their sustainability goals are integral to part of the overall, as part of the overall business plan, rather than as a standalone add-on. So maybe we'll start to see brands actually ensuring that their values include something very clear on sustainability that consumers can engage with and get behind. I think I would like to see some more forgiveness, I guess, on the part of the consumer. I think often brands are concerned to have ambitions in this space for fear of failing. And we certainly see that, you know, in the legal profession, where there are businesses that are doing good things, but are reluctant to publicize those things for fear of, you know, criticism. So I think consumers, you know, need to get behind brands' efforts, of course, hold them to account when, you know, as Gregor mentioned, you know, around greenwashing and other issues, unsubstantiated claims and so on. But actually support the initiatives that the brands are putting forward, and you know, we all have a part to play. The consumer has a part to play as much as the brand owner.
Yes, and it sounds like brand owners are going to have to be conscious of probably more regulation coming from governments and other agencies around sustainability and clean tech and so on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, governments are committing, you know, on the world stage, they're committing to certain objectives, and you know, they will need to ensure that the businesses in their jurisdictions are complying. So there will be more local regulation on these things, I'm sure. But as I say, you know, potentially also some incentive for those businesses to comply and comply quickly. Some of those ambitions seem to be, the goals are quite a long way off, 2050 and other targets, but actually it's not too far off, and there's a lot that needs to be done to get anywhere near those, achieving those objectives. So, business will need to be on board with that, and I'm sure governments will ensure that the right regulations are in place at local level to facilitate their meeting of those commitments.
Thank you. We're coming towards the end of the podcast, but just one other thing I wanted to ask you, Mark, first, perhaps, and then Gregor afterwards. Do you think that these trends that we've discussed will change the way that brands and consumers interact in any ways? I mean, I just wonder, for example, if there's more recycling, for example, if there are restrictions on what you can do with packaging, how much packaging you can have, if there's this move to local sourcing, perhaps, bring your own bag or whatever, so you're not using the branded packaging in the same way. Will that change the way that brands and consumers behave, and how we manage that relationship?
Perhaps I can jump in for the moment.
So, Gregor, would you like to comment on that?
I think we are currently going through some transformative phase. I think I wouldn't say things will be completely different from what they used to be before, but there will be a substantial difference to what we are still used to. Because I think nobody is exempted, particularly here in the EU, but also in the UK, to make substantial change happen very soon and very, let's say, consistently. And this is why I think we'll have to all make sure in our respective jobs that we effectively communicate messages about sustainability. Because it is getting and will be getting even more attention from regulators, from competition, and in the first place, from consumers. This is why I think there are three things to bear in mind when you communicate about sustainability. I think first and foremost, we'll have to do the right thing, because as I said in the beginning, consumers rightfully expect truthful and sufficient information. And as I said, experience shows that they're responsive to green claims just in the way they are to health advertising. And I think that this will pay off versus some sort of, let's call it, eco virtue signaling. Yeah? What I personally find worse are image campaigns that are not related at all to a specific product, but use all kinds of green attributes. And something else which I find extremely important from a legal perspective, and this is what I keep on preaching my folks each and every day, you'll have to be extremely clear and specific. Whatever you execute, execute it properly. Leave no room for ambiguity, because the information should easily get to the consumer, not the other way around. And finally, of course, I briefly touched upon that, be consistent in what you do. If you have a clear plan, a clear agenda, just stick to it and talk about meaningful change without taking the mouth too full. If good work is done, there's good work to be advertised. Obviously, you can take things to the limit. We live in a competitive world, but again, consumers' trust in a brand is essential, because otherwise they will drag their feet. So this is why I think we are going through a transformative age, and we'll have to take the consumer by the hand, manage his and her expectations properly, and simply, as I said, do the right thing.
Thank you very much, Gregor. Claire, what do you think? Do you agree with what Gregor said? Do you think he's on the right track there?
Yes, absolutely. I think that our relationship with brands is definitely already changing. I mean, there's a very much heightened awareness, and I'm just thinking here in terms of the clothing. Consumers are seeking out absolutely intentionally sustainable clothing. They're looking for the brands that can evidence sustainability, perhaps in the sourcing of the raw materials, the way that employees are treated. They're looking for sustainable clothing and definitely clothing that is linked in some way. So you might think in terms of we've all seen the advertisements for leasing an outfit rather than buying it. You wear it once, you take it back. That's another element to sustainability. There are these stores that also have an area where you can bring back clothing so that it can be recycled when you buy new clothing. So I think that we're already there. And I think that that type of awareness is simply going to increase as time goes on.
Very interesting, yes. And it will be interesting to see how different brands kind of do that and manage that and how consumers kind of relate to the brands as well.
Yes, definitely.
Mark, is there anything you want to add to that, or do you think that's covered it?
No, I think that's more or less covered it. I think, you know, the point about meaningful progress is important. I think brands need to be seen to be making efforts in this area. I think the relationship with consumers will continue to develop. I think there is a more sophisticated relationship perhaps between consumers and brands than there ever has been before. I think consumers, of course, as sustainability stays at the top of the agenda, consumers are actually understanding more about what sustainable looks like or what sustainability looks like. So actually brands, you know, it's no longer the case that consumers don't really kind of delve into these things or understand these things. So I think brands need to be aware of the fact that they have a consumer base that understands and will be able to identify when they are greenwashing or when they are making claims that perhaps cannot be backed up with data. So I think it's that evolvement. And of course, as we touched on earlier, with social media and the means of consumers engaging with brands and engaging more widely, that of course makes it, you know, an even more difficult challenge for brands. It's very, very easy to undermine the value in your brand by making claims that just don't stand up. So I think it's that evolvement of the relationship between brands and consumers, which we've seen over the last, you know, 10, 15, 20 years.
So clearly there's a lot going on around the sustainability topic. Claire, I wonder if you could tell us, you know, will this be addressed in future Marks events, webinars and so on? Can you give us any sneak previews of what's coming up?
Sneak previews. Well, the title of the 2022 annual conference is Celebrating Marks, which is clearly a play on Marks and the conference Marks. But with the subtitle, How Sustainability and Technology Will Shape the Future of Brands. And one of the things that I'm particularly keen on exploring at this annual conference and involving as far as possible the delegates in a very practical way is to explore sustainability in its various forms, which I think Gregor talked about earlier. So the human sustainability, the social sustainability, economic sustainability, and the one that we've all got a personal responsibility for, the environmental sustainability, is to bring all those forms together and see how they link and how consumers are buying different brands, possibly as a direct conscious result of a wish to support some type of sustainability. I do think, though, James, that these in-person conferences are going to come back to a large degree, but there will be certainly a number of online conferences, because this is, you know, as I said to you earlier on with the workshops, these have actually worked very well, and they do have other, you know, these side pluses as well. So there's a sneak preview of the 2022 annual conference.
And for anyone who's not sure, that so the 2022 annual conference is in Madrid, isn't it? And I think the 20th to the 23rd of September, is that right?
That's right, yes. So I'm looking forward to that immensely.
Yes, I think a lot of people are looking forward to being able to gather again, hopefully by September next year. But there'll also be some online events during the year, I think, organised by Marks as well.
Yes, that's absolutely right. So as I say, we're hoping to, we will keep doing the online events, but very definitely for the sake of some social sustainability, I think we're all hoping for a larger attendance at the in-person annual conference next year.
Yes, and I think a number of the teams, and we've heard from the IAM team, but I think a number of the teams have got projects relating to sustainability, so there may well be future webinars seminars, conference programs, and so on that topic, I think.
Most definitely.
So thank you very much, Claire, and thank you also to Gregor and Mark for a very interesting discussion today about sustainability. And I'm sure this is an issue, as you say, Claire, that we'll be looking at again in the future. And indeed, for anyone interested in this, I'm sure there are several resources on the Marks website looking at this topic. One that comes to mind is a paper I think the regulatory team have just published on the labelling requirements. So you can find that on the regulatory team page on the Marks website. So thank you very much to all our speakers, and thank you to everyone who's listened today. There'll be another episode of Talking Marks available very soon, and we look forward to joining you once again.
Join us again soon for another podcast on an important issue for brand owners. To find out more on our website and guest speakers, visit marks.org/podcast.